All right, breaking news. I'm not even joking. This is like the 10th story we've gotten of a January 6th rioter being pardoned, released back out into the wild, and then committing absolutely heinous crimes. We just learned that a pardoned Capitol rioter was charged with threatening to kill leader Hakeem Jeffries at a New York City event just this week. This story is wild, and I want to run you through the life of multiple January 6th rioters who were pardoned. What about this guy? Houston man pardoned by Trump arrested on child sex charge. Andrew Taki received a 6-year sentence for assaulting officers on January 6th. He was then pardoned by Donald Trump, and he was then rearrested back in February for an outstanding charge of soliciting a minor. Many such cases. We can go through so many. What about this one? Indiana man pardoned for January 6th crimes is then killed in a traffic stop shooting by a deputy. This one also happened earlier this year, back in January. The same week this guy was pardoned by Donald Trump, Matthew Huddle was pulled over by a cop, went so off the rails that I think he tried to pull out a gun or reach for something, and then he was shot by the cop. The sad part is, this guy's dog was in the car watching it all, like squealing, barking, like what the hell is going on? But either way, the fact that Donald Trump has pardoned all of these criminals, who are clearly criminals, let them back into the world, and then let them either reoffend children or try to kill a cop. I mean, it turns out, when you create the incentive structure for somebody to go beat cops at the Capitol on January 6th, and then you pardon them and say that what they did was actually patriotic, it turns out they're going to go try to be more, quote, patriotic and either beat more cops up, or in this case, try to kill leader Hakeem Jeffries. This is a type of political violence that has been stoked by leaders on the right. I have a huge debate about this coming out soon, about political violence, so make sure you're subscribed to the Atomocker feed if you don't want to miss that debate. It's dropping very soon. I also have my Jubilee Surrounded episode dropping in about a month or so. You guys will absolutely love it. It was a good debate. That being said, something that I keep debating about is which side is more responsible for political violence, and it's the right. 10 out of 10 times. You can look at any studies. The right commits a disproportionate amount of violence, and that's because the leaders, the politicians on the right, stoke this. Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, Caroline Leavitt, the way that they speak, the way that they operate, the way that they pardon people stokes violence. Now, is there violence on the left coming from the very far fringes? Yeah, the statistics show that people on the fringe left commit violence, but that is immediately condemned by the leaders of the party. Like, do you think Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries or Nancy Pelosi are riling people up and causing violence? No. Do you think Stephen Miller, Caroline Leavitt, and Donald Trump are? Absolutely. But let's continue. Pardoned Capitol rioter charged with threatening to kill Hakeem Jeffries at New York City event just this week. A pardoned Capitol rioter was arrested last weekend for allegedly threatening House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Court documents obtained by CBS News says Christopher Moynihan was arrested Sunday after saying in text messages that he planned to, quote, eliminate Jeffries when the top House Democrats spoke at an event in New York City on Monday. The amount of security that politicians need on a day-to-day basis is absurd now. And honestly, it's not surprising that Republicans try to take to the streets like this when this is how their leaders speak. This is the press secretary for the President of the United States. This is not some random Twitter account. This is Trump's press secretary talking about the Democratic voter base. Take a listen.
That the Democrat Party's main constituency are made up of Hamas terrorists, illegal aliens, and violent criminals. That is who the Democrat Party is catering to, not the Trump administration and not the White House and not the Republican Party, who is standing up for law-abiding Americans, not just across the country, but around the world. And that's
I mean, this is batshit crazy. Stephen Miller also said a few weeks ago, the Democratic Party is not a political party. It is a domestic extremist organization. That's what Stephen Miller said. So when Republicans in positions of power talk about the opposition party like they shouldn't exist, like the Democratic Party does not deserve to exist, this is what we see. According to a court filing by prosecutors in the New York State criminal case, Moynihan wrote, quote, Hakeem Jeffries makes a speech in a few days in NYC. I cannot allow this terrorist to live. Look at this. So he's saying that Hakeem Jeffries is a terrorist, and this is after Caroline Leavitt came out and said the Democratic Party mainly comprises of terrorists. This is straight up stochastic terrorism coming from that side. Stochastic terrorism is when a person in position of power uses such inflammatory words that it drips down into the public and it makes them want to commit political acts of violence. Hakeem Jeffries is not a quote-unquote terrorist, obviously, but like Hakeem Jeffries is one of the most milquetoast liberals. I don't say this to be mean or anything, but Hakeem Jeffries is not really like a crazy, radical, captivating figure. He's kind of just a dude who does politics in New York. He's not somebody that's going out radicalizing people. The only way you would think Hakeem Jeffries is a quote-unquote terrorist is if you're consumed with right-wing propaganda. Moynihan also allegedly stated, quote, "Even if I am hated, he must be eliminated. I will kill him for the future," the filing said. So he was serious about this. This is somebody who's already committed political violence, and he already entered the Capitol on January 6th. I remember the first day Trump took office, like the inauguration day. Obviously, it was rough for everybody for a lot of reasons. We were all sitting there. At least I was sitting there watching him and Elon Musk do the Nazi salute. Everybody was like, what the hell is going on? But when Donald Trump signed that pardon for 1,600 January 6ers, not to be corny or anything, but that one kind of broke my heart. That's when I knew that America was going down a dark, dark path. When the people who tried to insurrect the Capitol, the people who went to the Capitol on the day that Mike Pence was certifying the election results and tried to hang him, that one really bothered me. Moynihan is scheduled to make his first court appearance in the case on Thursday in Dutchess, New York. Moynihan was pardoned by President Trump 9 months ago, along with more than 1,500 other Capitol riot defendants who were granted clemency hours after Trump returned to the White House. This is one of the first things that he did. I mean, we're 9 months in. Prices haven't gone down. They've gone up. Unemployment hasn't gone down, it's gone up. Inflation has actually gone up over the past few months. No trade deals have actually been negotiated other than these crazy frameworks that Trump throws out. But 1,600 violent criminals, some of them violent, some of them were just trespassing, but 1,600 criminals who tried to insurrect our Capitol and overturn an election are let back out. Prosecutors described Moynihan as being among the first rioters to breach police barricades and enter the Capitol grounds on January 6th. You see him in this photo right here. By the way, if a conservative politician were almost killed by some sort of liberal protester who was pardoned by Biden, could you imagine the news cycle? Could you imagine if Biden pardoned somebody, Biden pardoned some criminal, and then that criminal tries to kill a conservative? Oh my God, the news cycle would never end. This is such a prime example of the way the right creates this permission structure and allows the most violent people to be a part of the coalition. On our side, I will condemn anybody who is calling for political violence. Anybody who said that Charlie Kirk deserved to get publicly executed, which I saw random people online saying this. I disagree. I find that gross. I find it gross when people are saying people deserve to get publicly executed. That's not the type of America that I want to grow up in as somebody who's trying to create a better political atmosphere. But Republicans can't do that. That Republican that I was on stage with a few days back, remember like a week ago, and I asked him to his face, do you condemn that group chat? And he couldn't do it. When we have leaders like that who fail to condemn shit, it creates the permission structure for this to happen. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate the analysis that we provide on the Adam Mockler channel, make sure you drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you on the next one. Peace out.